Good morning, church. This is Pastor Ben here from Aiken, South Carolina, at the Aiken Seventh-day Adventist Church. Perhaps you have noticed the news for the last 2 weeks. We had some social issues in our country that had changed everything. Our government is inviting the people to stay away from each other, and this is all related to the coronavirus infection that we are having right now. So our church is being challenge right now in how to get connected with each other, how we can continue having a relationship from the distance. And our idea of maintaining a connection is just using a video and hoping that you can join us through Facebook, sending us your comments or your ideas, and we will continue progressing with this experiment to see how the church will move forward. I have a few announcements that I want to mention to you. The first announcement is in reference to the tithes and offerings. If you would like to make a donation online, you can go to our website and look for the link for Adventist Giving. Adventist Giving is an online service that is free for our church. We have a tutorial there that will guide you step by step in how to set up an account. Also, you can send your checks or money orders to Alice Howell, and in that way you will continue supporting our local church. The other announcement that I want to mention is that we hope that if you watch this video, to tell other church members to join us and to support the church through different means. Right now, we have a great opportunity to be a blessing to our community, to be kind. We are seeing great opportunities in how to minister. And even from your home, you can continue worshiping God and being faithful to Him. So with that in mind, I would like to have a small prayer and begin our sermon today. Heavenly Father, today we are inviting you to be here, present with our church, watching from the distance, and asking, O Lord, for a special blessing for all our members, that they can have peace and security, and they can feel the assurance of Jesus Christ. In His name we pray this. Amen. So the story that I found today is found in the book of 1 Kings. And it's in reference to a younger man who was recently appointed by his father after passing to be the successor of the kingdom. And this story is found in 1 Kings chapter 12, and it's in reference to King Rehoboam. And let me do some reading here from the Bible, and I will continue expanding from the scripture. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone there to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard he was still in Egypt, he fled from King Solomon. He returned from Egypt, so they sent for him, for Jeroboam, and he and the whole assembly of Israel come to Rehoboam and say, "Your father put a heavy yoke on us, lining the harsh labor and the heavy yoke that he put on us, and we will serve you." So you encounter at the beginning of the story two characters. First is King Rehoboam, a younger man trying to start his leadership program in Israel. And you have another person mentioned there, that is Jeroboam. Jeroboam is presenting a petition to the king that is appealing for his kindness and for his support. Through the years of King Solomon's kingdom, especially the last years, due to the expansion and the luxuries and all his wife, the kingdom was heavy tax, and people was paying huge amounts of money to support the king's plans and projects. Now, after the king's passing, the people of Israel being tired, they are appealing to the new king, asking for opportunities and how he can decrease this heavy burden, that they can continue serving him and continue supporting the kingdom. The petition that they were presenting to the king was a simple and reasonable petition. And in fact, the king had the choice to answer that and made everyone happy. But when you continue reading in the scripture, this is how he responded to the people who was talking to him. Rehoboam answered, "Go away for 3 days, and when you come back to me," so the people will go away. And the Bible continues saying that during this 3-day period, the king visits some counselors and asks for advice. And you find examples in the scripture where kings in the past, and other persons in the Bible use time for prayer, for seeking God's guidance, for fasting, and you will think that during this three-day period, the king will be doing that. Quite far distance and quite far to the contrary, the king was requesting from the old advisors of his father what to do under the circumstances. And this is what the advisors answered to the king. When King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father, Solomon, during the lifetime, "How will you advise me to answer these people?" he asked. And they replied, "If today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants." So their approach was, what these people is requesting makes sense. What they are asking from you is not like a difficult thing to do. Do that and love them, help them, and they will be faithful and love your subjects to you forever. And you find through history that every single time that a new king is enthroned, they have an opportunity to make changes in politics and social issues, that it can be a blessing to the country, or that can be a big problem for the whole nation. And that was the case. The young man listened to that advice, pondered on that, but it seems, according to what the Bible mentioned, that he didn't agree with that advice, because in verse number 8, this is what the Bible says. "But Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and they were serving him." Now, we need to stop for a moment here, because this is something that is happening in our society all the time. The king now is going to his friends, the people that love him, that they are always praising, that they know him from childhood. These guys knew exactly what kind of person was this king. They knew his ego, they knew his fears, they knew all his insecurities, and they were appealing to all these qualities in the king. They were saying, you should do this or you should do that. And it seems, according to what the scripture mentioned, that all these helped to reinforce the insecurities that the younger king have. So the younger men, according to scripture, answered to the king, and this is what they say. You can answer to these people and tell them, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make us a yoke lighter. Now tell them, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke, and I will make it heavier. My father scourged you when whips and scourged you when scorpions. So the answer, instead of something designed to appease the fears and the anxieties of the nation, was more to establish the dominance, a king, authority, how you can be tougher. Don't let these people scare you. And that was a bad approach in handling the situation. You will discover in the Bible that because of this decision, the whole nation was divided forever. The kingdom entered into a civil war, and they will never get united. And so King Rehoboam had the two choices to make. One is to listen to the elderly people, do something good, be a servant to the nation. And with that in mind, he will probably gain their hearts and their loyalty and support. Or listen to his friends, the younger generation, and take a tough approach. Express to the nation, you need to obey me and respect me and fear me, because I will be stronger and harder than my father. With these two things in mind, I want you to think about the following circumstances that we are living in our nation. We had many choices today in how to react what is going on in our society. If you are watching the news, if you are paying attention to what everybody, the experts are saying, the situation is quite frightful. And it's possible that some of you right now are quite afraid and living under anxiety. My question to you is, do you think that God wants you to be under these circumstances? What you can do to help yourself and your family under the problems that we are confronting right now? First, we need to establish that some things we don't have any control over. The first thing that we don't have control over is about this disease. We don't have a control over how it's spreading. We don't have the control in how people will react to this, but we have control in how we will react to these difficult times. And so our choices are very important. Maybe we will do small choices in our community, in this small city, and that will affect people that is part of our family, our friends, our neighbors, and all of what we do can be an opportunity to tell others what you can do if you are a follower of Christ. So going back to the story that is presented in the Bible, the relationship that you had with friends and with people can be a beautiful opportunity to grow and be a better human being, or it can be in a detriment for your family and for yourself, especially when you are listening to the people who appeal to your dark side, the ones who know you and the ones who will encourage you to do the wrong things. And this is what happened to this young king. He's listening now to his friends. He is willing to establish his mark and provide to the nation a new leader, someone who was in control. When you read the history of Israel, you discover that no one was bigger than his father Solomon. The kingdom accomplished the maximum expansion. They were under amazing prosperity. People was having opportunities. But after his father passed and this young man took control, the whole thing come down. And it comes down because the approach that he used was the wrong approach. The Bible mentioned that King Rehoboam consulted with all advisors, younger advisors, but you will discover that in no moment there he mentioned that the king consulted God. So who is your best confidant? Who is the person that you go when you had problems, when you have anxiety? And I would like to suggest to you that today, more than ever, we can go to our best friend, our advisor, Jesus Christ. Talk to God. Express your anxieties. Relieve your burdens. Things that they are overwhelming you. Things that you cannot control. Right now is a good opportunity to give in to God and say, God, help us. We don't know what to do, but we want to continue trusting in you. Being here today represents a challenge for our church. Our church is completely empty. Represents a challenge for me, trying to do something out of my comfort zone, like speaking and trying to record a sermon and send it to you. It's a lot of things that they get involved, how to say it, what to say, the mistakes that we will maybe make when we are doing this live streaming. A lot of these things are having a heavy weight in my heart right now. I'm thinking in the majority of our members, seniors and elders that we have in our congregation, and how they can feel when they are exposed to this new disease. So we need to support each other and help each other. Our church is a quite a small church, but we are hope to continue loving and encouraging each other. If you think about someone, you can give them a call. If you need help with something, you can call me, you can text me, you can email the church, or email me, and we will try to do our best to get in contact with you and help you in the best way possible. So the second problem that King Rehoboam make, other than not consulting God, is the lack of wisdom. I've been reflecting a lot lately in this concept of wisdom. We have a lot of smart people who make terrible decisions, intelligent people who make mistakes. And case in point is here, this king. What is wisdom? What exactly is what God is expecting us to do? Well, wisdom is the inspiration and the education and the transformation that you get from God, from His Word, from the Holy Spirit. You can get divine wisdom from Scripture, from knowledge, from the transformation of your mind and your thinking. Without this knowledge, nothing will happen. Knowledge can be empty, but the moment that you apply it to your life and you start using it in your personal life, especially the scriptural knowledge, it will be a transformational knowledge that will change your life and your family forever. So this is the second mistake. The king never consulted God. He never requested wisdom to how to deal with this issue. When you read in the Bible, the first step that King Solomon, his father, took once he was placed as a king, was to talk to God. and ask for wisdom in how to have a good opportunity to serve the nation and to be a good king. And when you read the life of Solomon, you discover that King Solomon made several mistakes. And all of these mistakes are connected when the king was away from God. And one of the mistakes that he made that affected him seriously was the fact that he was married to more than 700 wives and 300 concubines. So he had a big extended family. He had his feelings compromised in many ways. And all these spouses, all these wives, all these people was making an influence in King Solomon. The wiser man that ever lived fell for the trap that the enemy placed to him, and he made mistakes. Now his son right now here is doing the same mistake. He's now ignoring God's counsel. He's now seeking for his wisdom, and now he's moving away. When you continue reading the story of King Rehoboam, you will discover that after a period of 3 years, when the kingdom finally was controlled by the king, they abandoned God little by little, not only in the south where this king was placed, but also in the north. The whole situation was related to politics. Jeroboam, the new kingdom of the north, and the new king of the north, established new places for worship. The reason why is because he was afraid of people going to Jerusalem and continue being loyal to the other king. So in order to prevent that, he established new houses, new places for worship, and invite people to move away from God. And today, more than ever, we find that that's happening in our society. We find people that doesn't care much for God and doesn't give God an opportunity to listen, to guide them. And in moments like this, that we are confronted by crisis, is when your faith will be tested. What are your decisions? What are you want to do about what you know? What will be your testimony to the people, your family, the ones who know you, and the ones that they will tell others about your experience? So my invitation today to you is also, yes, let's come back to God. Let's seek God and have an opportunity to continue serving him and being faithful to him. We can make a different choice. So I have some advices that I would like to share with you and what to do under our new society. Perhaps now some of you have been at home for several days, and the honest truth is that nobody knows for how long this situation will last. And because all of this uncertainty, that increment our anxiety. We don't know what will happen, but we know what we can do to help. So in the first place that I would like you to remember and acknowledge God as your spiritual guide. Go back to God, ask for wisdom, ask for guidance. Lord, what you want me to do, how I can serve you in my limited amount of time and capacity and contact that I have with other people. Maybe you can be a blessing to a neighbor, maybe you can be a blessing to someone in your family. So continue asking God for opportunities and how to minister others. The other thing that I would like you to consider during these difficult times is, what is really important to you? Our society in general tend to be a little materialistic. We measure things for the amount of money that we spend. We measure things for what we possess, the values that we have at home. What is really important to you? When everything is gone, what really matters? I know a lot of people right now are concerned when work and when food, and all of these are valid fears. You are worried about how you will provide to your family. But more than important than that is that you're still alive and you can continue being alive and continue being safe. So we would like to encourage all the members of the church and family and friends, just be safe, take care of yourself, do the best you can to have some mental peace, to release all this anxiety and trying to continue trusting that God will provide. Last week, I was having the opportunity to visit Costco for doing some grocery purchases in there, and maybe some of you had done the same in different supermarkets around the city. And you notice, there's no toilet paper, there's no paper and sanitizers, there's no disinfectants. And all of these is the result of panic, and people is afraid, and we are so concerned and making mistakes that we are trying to hoard the most that we can because we want to continue providing. God will provide for us. We need to take our steps and be good stewards and manage our resources and be careful in how you manage your resources too. But remember, at the end of the day, our Lord is the one who will continue providing for us. I just will say to the people who live in Aiken, I don't know if you know, but the company, Kimberly, the one that produced the toilet paper is here in our county. So I assure you, you will have plenty of toilet paper, at least in this county. So don't worry about that. Toilet paper will be plenty again for us pretty soon. I want you to also remember that we can have barriers today that separate us from God. These barriers had to do with our ego, it had to do with our fears, it had to do with our perception of our God. What is God in the middle of these circumstances for us? Well, God is continuing providing for us daily. Our nation has been blessed. The government is working really hard to continue providing services for us. Perhaps not everything is perfect, but we need to be positive and continue counting our blessings. Please stop dwelling in the negative things in the past and blame, and don't get too much involvement in the politics, but try to reflect more in the goodness and the kindness and the blessings that God continue providing for you. I want you to remember many of the families who had lost members through this period of time that has been difficult right now, how they are feeling, how what they are doing to deal with grief and with pain. And when you look at your life and you compare to all of these people, then you realize, yes, you and I, we have been blessed. Our family is still safe, and we will continue praising God for that. But even if something bad happened to us, even if something bad happened to someone that we love, we continue relying on the promises of God. I want you to remember the promise mentioned in Psalms 23. When you walk through the valley of death, the Lord will be there with you. God had never promised that we will not walk through that valley. What he had promised is that he will be there, giving us his presence, giving us comfort, and giving us company. So to keep that in mind during this Sabbath, which is a good opportunity for rest and an opportunity for us to continue relying on God. With that in mind, I just want to give you a blessing. Hope to continue seeing you soon, and allow me to offer a prayer right now for you, wherever you are. Heavenly Father, we are asking you to continue providing for the people in Aiken and for the people in the whole world. Father, we are being overwhelmed with many challenges, things that we don't know how to handle. But we want to continue relying on you and asking for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friends and dear church members, this is our first sermon via streaming Facebook. I hope that you can tell others to join us in church. We would like to listen from you for comments, ideas, and how to continue helping each other, how to continue getting connected. God bless you and protect you during this week. Amen.